The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, the rift between Donald Trump and Elon Musk has been ongoing. He said originally, once I've done my 149 days or whatever it is, I'm out of here, I'm done with Doge. Then it turned into a less, they had a going away party, it became less friendly, and it has deteriorated now to Elon Musk announcing in the last few days that he's plans to launch a new political party following his row with Trump, and the new party is to be called the America Party. He said that he'd done a survey on X and 2-1 majority said, go do this. And he's particularly focusing on the big, bad or beautiful bill in relation to it. His central point is that this will increase the deficit from $2 trillion a year to $2.5 trillion a year, and that it's fiscally irresponsible. So he's going to target people in the House of Representatives and the Senate who voted for this, and he's not ruling out fielding a presidential candidate in 2028. So the two-party system, the Democrats and the Republicans, the GOP, are they quaking in their boots, or is this much ado about very little because it's so hard to challenge the system? Well, joining us on the line to tell us where this may go and end up and explain the context to it, Brett Bruin is president of the Global Situation Room and former director of global engagement at the White House during the Obama presidency. Welcome to the programme, Brett. Tell us, first of all, is this credible?
Oh, it is. And look, we have seen a oscillating of Musk back and forth with will he do it? Won't he do it? And obviously, there's been a falling out with Trump, and this was to be expected. They do not have interests that align. Musk has, in fact, been a rogue actor for much of both his business and now his political life. And let's not lose sight of the fact, while he doesn't necessarily have a strong political constituency, he has a strong platform in X, and that may, in addition to his billions of dollars, help him to create some significant divisions, even if he can't win the presidency or overtake a lot of these legislators in next November's elections.
How valuable was he to Trump's successful presidential campaign? In other words, could Trump have done without him? What sort of money did he give? What sort of support did he give through social media?
You know, I think presidential campaigns in the U.S. are won on the margins. And this was certainly the case last year for those in Ireland who were following it closely. You know, the voters, for the most part, were in one of two camps. And those in the middle did matter. And if Musk helped through both his donations, which were the largest to Trump's political effort, as well as on X and appealing especially to those disaffected white men, I think it did have an impact and also provided, obviously, momentum and a split and a very high-profile boost to Trump's ambitions.
So the type of people that Elon will be appealing to, are they young, savvy kind of professional males? Are they part of the MAGA movement? What's his core appeal?
I think that's the key question right now, because you have a whole lot of Republicans, actually, who were part of the establishment. And Trump has essentially either chased them out of the party or pushed them to the sidelines, or, you know, they have fallen out with Trump. So if Musk can coalesce that group around a party, and I think this comes down to how much is Musk going to be the protagonist in this play versus if he is simply the catalyst that then leads all of these Republicans and maybe some independents and even some, you know, frustrated Democrats over, that could represent a significant coalition. And it doesn't necessarily have to win the election. We saw back in the 1990s, some listeners may remember, Ross Perot got 19% of the vote, and he is essentially tossed the election to Bill Clinton. And that's what a lot of us moderate Democrats are saying we need is another centrist Democrat to enter the scene. And if it's, you know, Trump or J.D. Vance on the ballot against a centrist Democrat and a Musk candidate, that's an interesting matchup.
Yeah. So you have a system, unlike in Ireland, whereby with proportional representation, if you lose the votes on the first count, they could come back to you in a subsequent count. Whereas in Britain, for example, Nigel Farage's reform could destroy one or other parties by taking from it, and whoever, you could get seats on 30% of the vote, and Starmer got 55% of the vote, seats on 35% of the vote. So, you know, I can say, just tell us your system, how it works, because it's not as if Ross Perot got elected.
No, and this is where it gets really complicated. And for these structural challenges, we have not seen a serious third-party challenge at the presidential level, because essentially you have to follow 50 different systems. You have to get on the ballot in 50 different states. And so that's challenging. Now, Ken Musk do that with his millions? Maybe. But also, you know, he's threatening next year in the congressional elections. And I think there you could, in some of these seats where, again, you only have to play by that state's rules or that district's rules, maybe he could knock off a few Republicans. I think it's more likely that he pushes the election to a Democrat, and Democrats are already, despite all of our troubles, you know, moving towards taking the majority, at least in the House, in next year's elections.
Now, this time last year, when it looked like Biden versus Trump, I think the whole world outside of the States, and maybe even including the States, said, what? Two 80-year-old guys going at it? Is this all 360 million Americans can offer the world? And I felt there was a real sort of, you know, anti the two-party system. Like, is this the best you can throw up? Would you say that feeling still pertains?
It does amongst a good portion of Americans. And yet, I think at the same time, what is our alternative? And right now, you have a introspection, a painful one, going on in the Democratic Party of who do we want to be? And obviously, the likes of Gavin Newsom or Josh Shapiro, the governor in Pennsylvania, J.B. Pritzker in Illinois, are positioning themselves to say, hey, I'm not 80 years old, an octogenarian. I can be the leader. I can also rally folks around. But let's not forget, we just had the Democratic primary in New York City, and the candidate that emerged wasn't a centrist. He wasn't someone who a lot of us would identify as the face and the path forward for our party. And yet, I think there are some important lessons to learn in terms of how we use social media, how we use videos to appeal to those disaffected voters.
The core issue that Musk is putting forward is fiscal responsibility, that the deficit is going to get worse, that the national debt, $37 trillion or something like that, is just out of control and is ultimately unsustainable. And he could be right about that. Does that resonate with American voters, or do they not give a damn?
You know, it's interesting because going back again in time to the 1990s, that was Ross Perot's central argument, that the debt was out of control. And he did appeal to a significant chunk of Americans. And let's not forget, he got 20%, but he actually had been polling higher than he pulled out of the race and then got back in. So there is a constituency for that argument. And now that the Republicans have passed this, you know, big, ugly bill, the bill is going to come due on it. And I think a lot of Americans both are going to see their children inheriting a huge burdensome debt. And a lot of the services that they depend on, 400 rural hospitals are going to be closed as a result of this bill. People, 12% of Americans who depend on food assistance are now going to get less or none. All of that is going to hit hard. And I think Americans are going to be asking, did Donald Trump make the right call on this?
Now, hell hath no fury like Trump spurned. We've seen from Anthony Scaramucci right across to former generals, John Kelly and others, that he doesn't make a great enemy, Trump. And I'm looking at the sort of interest that Elon Musk has with his electric cars and sustainability subsidies, SpaceX, Can Trump retaliate in a non-political way and hit him in his pocket?
He will, and he's already threatened to do so. But, you know, the interesting thing is William Randolph Hearst, as some listeners may remember, was that famous, well-to-do publisher, perhaps almost like a Musk figure in the 1900s. And it was the warning at the time, don't go to war with those who buy newsprint in the massive quantities that he did. In, you know, the modern context, I think Musk, both with his billions, but also, and more importantly, with his social media platforms, offers Trump a real challenge, a real threat. So yes, he can certainly try to hit him in the pocketbook, but Musk hasn't been making decisions largely based on his business interests.
And was Doge a success or not? Which is the main thing that Musk was involved in.
Oh, look, I would say that Doge was an abject failure, both because it was a lightning rod politically, even Republicans saw it as such. But then we have reports of millions of impoverished people, humans around the world who have been cut off from aid, let alone, you know, the American cuts that have hit particularly hard. So it's a tough legacy and one Musk is going to have to contend with as he sets up this party.
So overall, we'll finish where I started in terms of are the GOP and the Democrats quaking in their boots? Do they think, you know, don't let the door hit your arse on the way out in terms of that he's going nowhere and he's kind of like spurned? Or is there something in play? Someone texted me to say that robo-taxis, autonomous cars was critical to Tesla's next move. Is there something we're not seeing here?
Well, look, Democrats welcome this inter-party fight amongst Republicans. And Republicans, I think, have some concern, but Trump has proven to be a cat that has nine or more political lives. So whether or not this will be his undoing, I think we will see probably in the next 6 months, if we're still talking about the America Party, Trump has got a problem.
All right. Brett Bruin, President of the Global Situation Room and former Director of Global Engagement at the White House during the Obama presidency. Thank you indeed. And of course, Obama's coming to town. He's going to be in the Three Arena. I think you can have your photograph taken for $3,000. Cheap at the price. I wouldn't go that low. But anyway, the point about it is that the tickets are about €500, the cheapest tickets. I think it's in the autumn he's coming. But Brett, thank you. Now, just in relation to that, some of your texts, I wish people would call it out. Apart from the corporate donations to both Republican and Democrat, US politics is a mess because of uneducated and disinterested voters, plain and simple. Turkeys that voted for Christmas twice, says John.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.